Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. On this day, the 24th of August, the church remembers one of the apostles, one that we don't fixate a whole lot on. We know of Peter, we know of James, John, Andrew, we know, of course, of Judas the betrayer. But Bartholomew is not one that we've spent a whole lot of time studying. Now, part of the issue is that when I read the gospel lesson for tonight, you didn't even hear the name Bartholomew read. And that's because he also goes by another name, Nathanael. Bartholomew and Nathanael are the same person. And here we see when Jesus calls Bartholomew, that is the son of Tholomew, or a man named Nathanael, to follow him. On this day, the church remembers this man who was going to be a preacher, who would go out into the world and proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. That is what God called him to do. He spent 3 years following Jesus in his earthly ministry. He saw all of the things that he had done. And honestly, when we look at this conversation between the two of them, I find it quite fascinating. So Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip, the same one who would ask Jesus, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" in John 14. Philip was from Bethsaida. Jesus told him, "Follow me." And at the word of Jesus, Philip does just that. So Philip finds Nathanael, or Bartholomew, and he says to him, "We have found him. We have found the one that Moses and the prophets said about. The Messiah, he is here, he is with us." And honestly, that's exactly how you should be reading this text. Because if you have found the Messiah, if the Messiah has now come after year upon year of waiting for God to deliver you from the slavery that is Rome, you would rejoice. And so think about him saying it this way: "We have found him. Moses and the prophets, what they wrote is true. We have found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth." Now, all of our small towns have something of what I like to refer to as mostly friendly rivalry, right? I played football for the Shawano Hawks, and we had a friendly rivalry with Seymour. That was kind of one of our biggest rivalries, right? And so it's kind of whoever your biggest issue, typically football, because that's how things work in the United States, at least for now. And the people that are in the town kind of over from you, that your teams battle it out, well, they're your rival, right? And you might say all sort of mean things about it. Now, I don't know exactly who Waterford's biggest rival is. Unfortunately, I think too often it's between the town and the village, which is a terrible shame, of course, because we are Waterford, we're a community, we're in this together. But the fact is that we have these rivalries. And I'm going to do something that I never do, but do you know who Waterford's actually is? Do you know? Burlington? All right. I thought maybe, but I wasn't sure. So, you do this with the professional leagues too, right? I know, I'm not going to ask you a ton of questions from here on. This isn't like a new thing I'm trying to do where I'm going to make you answer questions during the sermon. But, so Burlington. All right. For a long time, when I actually cared about professional sports, for me, it was the Cubs, right? And the Cardinals and the Bears. Those were teams I actually cared about because I didn't like them, right? Because somehow that matters to me for life at all, whether some other team is against a team that I like, right? I bet that there are Christians who play even for the Chicago Bears. I bet that that's a real thing, right? Just like there are Christians who play for Burlington, or for Waterford, or for Shawano, or for Seymour, or whoever you are from. And if you remember those friendly neighborhood rivalries, you'll see kind of what I'm talking about here. Because Nathanael says to Philip, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Burlington or Seymour or Chicago? Can anything good come out of there?" Because that's actually how these men operate, right? They are men. They're young men who have the same basic thoughts that we have today. Can anything good come out of there? You know, we don't really care much about them. They're not that important. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip gives a response that I absolutely love. Come and see. When you're talking to people about your faith, when you're talking to them about Jesus, what he has done for you, when you're talking to them about your church family and how the fact that Jesus brings his body and blood to us week after week to give us the forgiveness of sins, when someone is struggling to really comprehend what you're talking about, give that exact same response. Come and see. Come with me. Walk arm in arm with me. Sit next to me in the pew. I want you to see why I love Jesus. I love him because he first loved me. Come and see. Jesus, knowing all things, knows that this is Bartholomew's response. And I want you to keep that in mind as I now read this next verse. So Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed." Think about that. Oh, that's right. You're from Cana. You're a real Israelite. This is a real Israelite here, folks, in whom is no deceit. In other words, because he's from Cana, this is a real Israelite, and he would never tell a lie. But the fact is that Jesus goes this route, but it's also for another purpose. Because Jesus never tells a lie. And what Bartholomew is about to cry out is absolutely 100% the truth. There is no deceit in what Nathanael or Bartholomew will cry out. Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." I saw you, Nathanael. I saw you looking for something. I am it. I am what you have been waiting for. I am what you have been looking for. And because Jesus had said this, because he said, "I saw you under the fig tree," Nathanael utters words, cries out words that are 100% true without deceit. "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You are the Messiah. You are what we've been waiting for. You are what my parents and my grandparents and my great-grandparents were waiting for. You are God in the flesh. You have come to deliver us. You are King Jesus." That should be our confession too. That when Jesus comes to us, and even though he tells you exactly all the sins that you have done, you lay them at the foot of his cross. You say with Bartholomew, "You are the Son of God. You are my King and my Lord." Jesus said, "You're going to see way more than this." And it's true. Jesus, God in the flesh, came down. And oftentimes he would lay aside the miracles, but at times we would catch a glimpse into his godhood when he would do those miracles, when he would raise people from the dead, healing the blind, the deaf, and the mute. You will see heaven open. Jesus would be with Bartholomew for the rest of his earthly ministry. And Bartholomew would see all these things. He would see and receive the institution of the Lord's Supper. He would eat bread and drink wine that Jesus said very clearly, "This is my body, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins." He would know that his Lord, his master, his teacher, his rabbi, died on a cross. But Bartholomew was in that room when Jesus appeared to the 11. First to the 10, then the 11. Bartholomew saw his risen Lord, his risen King. And 40 days later, he saw as the heavens opened, and that Jesus, that Son of God, that King of Israel, ascended up into the clouds, and the clouds covered him. What an incredible sight.
preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ caused Bartholomew to have his life taken from him.
Bartholomew, tradition holds, went out to Armenia, and he preached the gospel to those who liked it and liked it not. In fact, God used Bartholomew to proclaim the message of Jesus Christ even to the king, and the king was converted to Christianity. The king cried out the same confession that Jesus is the Son of God, that even though he is king, he is the King of Kings.
But his brother didn't like that so much, because Jesus doesn't always unify, does he? Sometimes he causes divisions even in our own families.
And because the king's brother despised this message, despised the fact that his brother had converted and now cried out that there is a new king over him, the king's brother ordered that Bartholomew be flayed alive. And that is why on the front of your bulletin you will see Bartholomew holding a flaying knife. Oftentimes when we see Bartholomew in pictures, we will see him as a man with only muscles. He was flayed alive for confessing Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't believe that that will probably happen to any of you or to me. At least, I hope it doesn't. But persecution comes. St. Paul, another man who was put to death for Jesus, talks about this in his second letter to the Corinthians. Keep in mind that all 12 apostles, think about what happened to them, or the 12 disciples, right? We know, of course, how Judas's life ended. He took it himself. But out of the faithful 11, only one of them got to die from old age. And it wasn't from lack of trying. St. John, the evangelist, the apostle, the writer of the book of Revelation, was boiled alive and yet survived. He was exiled and yet survived. But all the rest were put to death for their confession of Jesus Christ. There is hope for us, even if persecution comes. Think about these words. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Persecution might come, but your God, your King, will never abandon you. They might strike you down. They might take your earthly life. And yet, you are not destroyed. For the person who confesses Jesus as God and Lord and King in this life will be with him for eternity. They can't take that away from you even if they take your life. They could not take eternity away from Bartholomew, and they can't take it away from you if you believe. If you have faith. So on this day, when the church remembers an apostle, a man who proclaimed the word of Christ, believe that word. Jesus is our God. Jesus is our King. And so the church sings, all praise for him whose candor through all his doubt you saw. When Philip at the fig tree disclosed you in the law, discern beneath our surface, O Lord, what we can be, that by your truth made guileless, your glory we may see. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.